Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. If you haven't been there on Thursday nights and Sunday nights, we've had some just great, amazing services. Matthew 21, the Lord's really been speaking powerfully to us. And just kind of simple messages, but the Lord's been involved. And we hope you can make it back and make the time for church. Give the whole day Sunday to the Lord. Come back midweek. We would love to have you. Matthew 21 and verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children cried in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and lodge there. Let's pray. I want to talk about Year of the Temple. Let's pray. Father, we are so glad to have the Bible. The book of Matthew, what a beautiful book. Lord, that was the book that really laid the foundation when I was a baby Christian that I spent the most time in. And there's so much in there and so much fulfilled prophecy in Matthew. And we thank you for the wonder of the Word of God. And we pray that we would get great truth. We'd understand the privilege of sitting in a church free from persecution, free to read your word, to preach your word, to make decisions, to have our own copy of the Bible, to hear the Bible read. As much as we want to read, Lord, we're so blessed. We thank you for these things. Now, Lord, I have the message I believe you have for us today, and I pray that you would speak it. It's your word. It's your church. It's your choice what's preached, and how we respond is our choice. But, Lord, I pray that your word would be very clear and powerful. And that we'd get what we need today. You'd help us to know of your love and of your seriousness and of your passion for these things. And may we just be given to you, Father, with our whole lives, our whole bodies, our whole hearts. And Lord, this is so important, Father. So I pray you'd make it powerfully understood. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus talks about, the Bible talks about what Jesus did when he went in the temple. He just got tired of it. The temple had been corrupted. It, first of all, had been rebuilt by Ezra and his friends, and they'd rebuilt. This is a second temple. There's two temples. This second temple had been rebuilt, and then Herod the Great, who is the king from under Roman rule, who is basically the king set over the area, decided to make it even nicer and fancier, and he added some things to it that weren't maybe there in the original temple that Solomon had built. And the Romans, of course, would just let them know they're in charge. And so this temple was there. And then people, the Jewish people up in the temple itself, in the area near the temple, they began to have money changers, people who would buy and sell things. And basically became a market to buy what you needed. They'd make money. And they'd exchange money and with profit, and they would sell sacrifices with profit and everything. And they began to do these things. And Jesus had had enough of it. He came back to Jerusalem, and he went in there, and he cleaned house. And he threw them out of there. He says, My Father's house should be a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. And with that, with Jesus doing that, and being that angry about it, I am completely stunned when churches become about money. I can't believe it. It's like, do you not understand? Jesus doesn't like that. And the TV ministries become about money, and the Bible foretold this stuff, and it said they'd go into widows' houses, and that's where, by the way, that's where the TV money comes from, is widows sitting there, can't go to church anymore, and so they get their money because they're because of manipulation and stuff, and churches that just push and push, and it's about money, and it's about money, and it's about money, and the preachers are very wealthy. I've knocked on these preachers' doors when I've gone to rich million-dollar houses, and I'm going, you're in trouble, man. That's my thought. You're in trouble. When you die, what you could have done with that money. And the wealth. And churches, they just, it's all about money. And now they just throw everything of discretion away. God's going to make you a millionaire and healthy and wealthy. And it's all about. And I look and I say, man, if Jesus physically threw them out of the he went and grabbed the tables and threw the tables over with all the products on it. He had a whip. He started chasing them. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Man, how do people make a church about money today? I'd be scared to death to make it about that. And yet it's very common from what I understand. And I have been to churches who do that and who are known for that. I've been to them, and I'm a little stunned, I'll be honest with you. And I look at it and say, well, that's their deal. I'll just make sure I do right because they got to face God. And, Jesus didn't like his temple being defiled. And he was very upset about that. He's violent about it. Okay. He was rough on there. And, he came in and he threw them out. We see the temple is very sacred to God. First of all, he says it's a place of prayer. Verse 13, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And so, that is God's temple. This house is a house of prayer. That's what it's supposed to be about. It's also a place of praise. After Jesus did this, the common people who always followed him and always heard him gladly, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the money changers, not the people who had other things, just the common average person who were in the temple began to praise God and praise Jesus. It said in verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased. They were praising God. It is a place of praise. It's a place of power. Jesus healed a man in this temple. We find when the temple was built with Solomon, God's presence came upon the temple and a cloud descended. And it was a temple that God dwelt in. And it was a place of great power. And it's a place of purity. He says, you made this a den of thieves. That is not to be done here. He killed Eli's children because they are immoral at the temple. And God said, your family is going to be cut off. You're not going to have any more descendants. It's done. Because you have defiled the temple. And the temple is a place of prayer. And of purity and praise and of power. It's a very sacred, sacred place. The temple was made by Solomon, but it was such a magnificent building of it that David, well before they began to build the temple, David wanted to build a temple, and God said, you know, David, this building is so sacred and going to be so special that I'm not even going to have you do it. David, you're a man of war. You've been fighting. You've lived a bloody life. And it's okay, you did it. You know, you killed Goliath and all that stuff for the good reasons. But you know what? I'm going to have someone innocent. And I'm going to have Solomon, your son, build it. You're not the guy to do this. We're going to do this. So David said, okay, but it's got to be an amazing place. See, God had been in what was called a tabernacle, and God gave them instructions for a tabernacle. And that was basically a giant tent. And the tabernacle was very sacred. A cloud came down and descended upon it, and the presence of God went in that tabernacle. Because they were going through the wilderness, and they had to move all the time, going for 40 years in this tabernacle, and it had to move all the time. And so they would take it down, and this big tabernacle would be taken down. But then it was time to build the temple, which would be a permanent thing. And it was to be built in the city of God, on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, on this sacred spot. And they were supposed to build that temple. And so the instructions were clear, and the directions were clear. And David began before his death to prepare abundantly, because the materials for this thing were very sacred materials and very expensive materials. And that there would be jewels and gold and silver and it would be a beautiful, the most beautiful building ever built. Probably cost more than billions, probably trillions. Because the entire inside was overlaid with gold. And the vessels were of gold and the furniture, some of the furniture was made of pure gold. And there was symbolism of the silver and the gold in eternal things. And all these things had symbols of eternal things. And they're a picture of Christ. And we're not going to preach and all these things. They had to be made just right. You're going to make this table of showbread. It's going to be this big, and it's made like this. You're going to make a golden candlestick, and it's going to be made exactly like this. And you're going to make an altar of incense, and it's going to be made exactly like this. And you're going to make an ark like this, and a mercy seat like this. And you're going to make a veil like this. And every little detail was ordered by God. Amazingly sacred building. And so David prepared abundantly, and then Solomon grew up and said, okay, it's time. And God had made certain people with certain skills to do certain things in the temple. God had made a person who was miraculously good with gold. There was another man who's miraculously good with wood and carving, and then with people who were able to make a curtain out of linen, and in the curtain was going to be these incredible details, a certain color of purple, and then other colors woven in there with little angels woven all throughout this veil, and all these people with incredible skills would build this building. It was going to be unbelievably sacred. And one of the reasons was is because it's made after a pattern of actually the real temple in heaven. And I'll just show you that Revelation 21 and verse 22. And in talking, it says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Okay. Everything's a picture of Jesus, and it's made after him. God is the temple of it. Jesus is the temple. And so it's made after a pattern to show us Jesus. I wish I could take time in this sermon. I won't. Just show you the symbolism of the table of showbread and Jesus, the bread of life, and all the things, and the altar of incense and the prayers of the saints and all the things, because God says this is a pattern of heavenly things. And so it's very sacred and very important. Jerusalem was a city of God. And there was walls built around Jerusalem that were to keep Jerusalem protected and sacred. And then in Jerusalem, there was this mount that was a sacred mount that certain people couldn't go onto it. And only certain people could go there. The temple was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. It's almost as long as this back wall to the back wall by the bathrooms back there. And not that much different in width of this room right here, much taller. It's a very tall building. Be triple the height of this room here. And probably more than that, actually. And it was a sacred building. When they built it, you were not allowed to have any work, any hammering, anything done on site. Every bit of work had to be done off site because they wouldn't allow any tools and pounding to be done there when you're building the temple. And it had to be pushed together and assembled once you brought the already assembled places there. And then they would melt the gold and overlay everything with gold. And it was a sacred, sacred place built after exact patterns. So it was a sacred city. It was a more sacred mount. By the way, they're going to rebuild a third temple. Okay, it hasn't happened yet, but the Bible tells us in the future. Right where that big golden dome is in Jerusalem, you see the picture of Jerusalem all the time, it's a golden dome. Right now it's in Muslims' hands. It's the Dome of the Rock. It's a mosque right now, and it's the third most holy site in all of Islam. That mosque is going to be gone, and the temple will be built there again. Don't know how that'll happen. It will happen because everything the Bible says happens always happens. It'll happen again, and there'll be a third temple built there, and they'll be doing sacrifices, and the Antichrist is going to walk into the temple and defile it. And it's this sacred thing. Around it, you had basically a fence that was designed on the Temple Mount, on the top of the Temple Mount, that was much bigger than the temple itself, and that was the outer the outer court, it was called. Only Jews were allowed to go in the outer court, but any Jew could go if they were properly purified. They could not have any running sores, even to go into the outer court. The outer court was a big open area, a huge open area on the Temple Mount with the temple being in the back, in the middle of that. And here's this giant outer court here, and there's all kinds of gates in there. And when it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, that's the outer gates. Okay, could have been the Jerusalem gates, the walls there, but it's probably talking about going into the outer court. And if the Jews were not defiled and they did not have any running sores because of the place of purity, even getting close to the temple, the Jews could come there, and that was a place of worship and praise. You'd have singers that were nearby that were professional singers, and they would be singing God's praises. But on the holy days, the Jews would all come from all over Israel and all around the world and come there, and they would come into these gates, and they would stand in the Temple Mount, but that's as close as they could go. And they would praise the Lord there. They would bring their sacrifices into the outer gates, and they'd bring them into the outer courts, and they'd bring them there, and they'd stay and praise God, and they would bring their animals to be worshipped. But then you had an inner gate, or the outer court and the inner court. In the inner court was an area smaller and close to the temple. In the inner court, there was a great brazen altar there. And this is where the priests were. And these priests would go and they would kill the animals here. And there was a giant altar there, the brazen altar. And they would go and kill these animals and offer them upon the altar. And it was a large area. But the common people weren't allowed in there. Even the Jewish people weren't allowed in there. Only the children of Levi were allowed to go in there to do the sacrifices, and the priests were allowed to go there and to do the sacrifices, and they would kill the animals there, and they would offer upon the altar, and they'd burn up the sacrifices there, and that was done often, and especially on holy days, thousands and thousands of sacrifices, and that was a place where you couldn't wander and say, I want to watch the sacrifice, you'd be killed, because only certain people were allowed there. It's a sacred ground. And then before you go into the temple, when you're in the inner gates, there was a place called the laver. The laver was a water fountain. And as you got more closely in there, the laver was there to wash, because you could not go into the temple, even if you were a priest, until you were washed. You had to be cleansed. You were just killing animals sometimes. If you were not cleansed when the temple, you died. Okay, if God didn't kill you, the priest would kill you, but God usually killed anything that like that. And so it was sacred ground. So they had to wash in the laver, and they had a cleansing process, a purification, because you never went into God's temple with anything dirty, defiled, unclean. It's a symbol of God's presence, and God cannot allow any iniquity in his presence. That's why one sin, the wages of sin is death, because heaven's perfect. God cannot allow any sin into heaven. If you have one sin in your record, you can't go to heaven. There's no sin allowed. It has to be clean and sacred and purified. Every single thing inside the temple, once you walk up those steps into the temple itself, before you walk in that one front door, the gates there, the big doors, before you can walk in, and you couldn't walk in unless you're a priest. You not only had to be from a Jewish person, not only from that particular tribe, you had to be from Aaron's family. You couldn't just be any Levite. You couldn't be just any, you had to be one of that descendants from that family. You couldn't be a priest. And not only that, you had to wear exact specification outfits that were made by God and that God designed. You had to wear those certain outfits. And you had to be clean before you could walk into that temple. Everything in that temple, there was lampstands and snuff dishes, and there was cups, and there was bowls in there that held the oil and all these different things. Every single thing in there had to go through a process that was called sanctification. Literally, a spoon to scoop oil had to be a sanctified vessel. It wasn't allowed in there. What sanctified meant is it was purified. It was never used for anything else. If it was called common, which means it was never used for anything else, not allowed to be in the temple. Had to be completely clean. It had to be sanctified. It had to be separated where it could never be used for anything else, never had been used for anything else. It was made for that particular job in there. That's all that thing. That bowl was a temple bowl. It was so sacred that some of those cups got taken later when Jerusalem was destroyed in the first temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed by Babylon. They took them back to Babylon. And then in a drunken party, one of the kings decided, let's take out those fancy golden things that were they were from that temple back in Israel. They took them out and took out those cups and made them common. And they started drinking with them. And boom, a hand appeared. And this hand started writing on the wall and said, you're done. Your kingdom's taken from you. In the middle of them drinking. Don't mess with God's vessels. Those are sacred. Those are sacred. And literally a king of a kingdom, not just a nation, a kingdom, boom, that night was destroyed. Taken away. No more. No more Babylon. Boom, you're gone. Still no Babylon, by the way. because they took God's vessels that night. They were so sacred, those cups were. And everything in that temple was so sacred. Just to go into those gates, you had to be from that certain family. You had to be cleansed. You better cleanse yourself right. And you had to be purified. And you had to be from that family. And then you could go in there and use the only the specific things that were used for that one sacred temple. No wonder Jesus threw over the tables. What are you doing? This is God's temple. He drove them out violently. This is a special place. If you walk farther into the back of the building, there's a big curtain there. And that's the sacred veil. And that veil separated the rest of the temple, which was sacred, into what was called the most holy place. And just a small room in the back. That most holy place, none of the priests were able to go into, except for the high priest, one man on earth, one time a year. And you talk about having to do everything exactly right. He had to make a certain sacrifice, catch the blood from that sacrifice in a certain bowl. He had to go and be purified. He had to have the high priest outfit, which had 12 jewels on his chest and certain jewels on his shoulder with certain words written on those jewels. And he had to be purified just right. They had bells on the bottom of his robe because if he didn't do everything right, he died. And nobody could go in and get him. So they knew if they heard the bell stop ringing, he did something wrong. They said that many times they'd tie a rope to his foot to pull him out if he ever did it wrong. Because in that room was a little box about this long and just about this wide and just about this tall. And that box was the Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of the Covenant had on top of it what was called the mercy seat. It was everything was gold inside and out. The mercy seat was a lid, and the mercy seat had two angels facing away from each other or toward each other. We don't know, but their wings were right touching in the middle, and God said, I dwell right between the cherubims, right between the wings. That's where I am. I dwell right there, and that's my spot. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that buds out of it, and the Ten Commandments, the stones that Ten Commandments are written on, and a pot filled with manna. And that's the Ark of the Covenant. And if you touched that, you died. That thing sometimes traveled around, of course, with the tabernacle it traveled. One time it was traveling along, and it started shaking on the cart. You weren't supposed to carry it like that. Everything was done to directions. It had little loops in the side. You're supposed to put certain specific poles made out of a certain type of wood through those holes. And Levites, a certain family, was supposed to carry them on their shoulder, and they were carrying it in a wagon. They weren't supposed to do that. A man reached up to steady it, touched it, boom, he's dead. In that holy of holies, the most sacred spot where God dwelt, where one man, one time a year, would bring a certain sacrifice in, was the most holy place. Or the Holy of Holies. That is where God dwelt. And that's inside the temple. When Jesus died, the veil ripped in half, symbolizing how that the holiest place where God dwelt is no longer a sacred place where nobody can go. It's now a place that's been open to all through Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says we can enter that veil through prayer. And now all of us have access. When Jesus died, the wall was broken down, the Bible says. And now we have direct access to God. You don't need a priest to go to God. You can go to God directly. And you have direct access to God because Jesus died and rose again. And so we have that thing. And there is that sacred, sacred, sacred temple with the very end, the Ark of the Covenant. A very sacred place. Each piece of furniture, every cup, every bowl, every spoon, every staff that went through every little loop had to be sanctified, set apart, anointed, and sprinkled with blood, and anointed with holy oil. And every little thing had to be done to make that now an acceptable piece to use in there. And nothing could be used for anything else. It was a sacred spot. No wonder Jesus said, I'm sick of this. I'm fixing this problem. That's my Father's house. That's the temple of God. You're in there trying to make money. You're defiling it. You're in there trying to sell things and make it a den of thieves. And he threw over the tables and he drove out the money changers and he drove out the people who are trying to make a profit out of it all. He said, this is sacred ground. Don't mess with it. And he said, don't even do that. Strange thing happened as the New Testament went on. Jesus says in John 2:19, he's near the temple and he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it again. I'll raise it up. And they laughed at him and said, you know, it took decades to build this temple with hundreds of workers and you're going to build it up in 3 days? But the Bible says he spoke not of the temple, but of his body. It's a strange thing. He calls his body a temple. Let me take you to some verses. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This temple has been destroyed in 70 AD. Titus, the Roman general, came through. And Jesus had predicted in Matthew 24, he said there won't be one stone left upon another. And they came in and they destroyed the temple, but they realized how much gold was between the rocks and the stones and the walls and everything. So they literally tore every rock down, every single one, to get every bit of gold, because when they burned it, the gold melted and went between all the rocks. So this temple has now been destroyed. Around the 7th century, the Muslims built came in there and took over the land and built the Dome of the Rock. And it's been back and forth and back and forth and through all the Crusades, the Dome of the Rock has been there. And that's there now. There is no physical temple now. God says, but I ripped the veil down. Can you imagine, though, the audacity of a human to set up a booth and say, man, I'm going to make some money out these people bringing sacrifices. I'm going to make some loans here. I'm going to go and get some money from these people. I'm going to... In the temple? You got some guts, buddy. You're sitting right there on the Temple Mount, right next to the temple, trying to make money? It's a den of thieves. And Jesus drove them out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3... Verse 16 is a stunning statement. It says this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? These are the Corinthian believers. He says, you are the temple of God. Remember the veil, that last thing that you had to go through and the priest went through once a year. That veil is ripped in half. God does not dwell in the temple anymore. He says in the second half of the verse, says, you're the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. What God changed, he made it so you and I are now his place he dwells in on earth. And you, your body, is now the temple. You are the temple of God. Don't you know? Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let me take you to chapter 6 and verse 19. A little more specific, but same thing. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? You are the temple of God. Your body is a temple of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Just stop for a sec here. God very clearly says, your body is now the temple of God. Look at your hand. You're looking at the temple that God dwells in. You are the temple of God now. Wow. You know how sacred the temple was? You know how important everything how that temple was treated was? Do you know how holy that temple is supposed to be? Your temple is supposed to be a house of prayer. Your temple is supposed to be a house of praise. Your temple, his temple, is supposed to be a house of power. And your temple is supposed to be a house of purity. your body, wherever you take it, wherever it goes, whatever you do, you take God. You're his temple. You're where he dwells. You're what he does. You are his temple now. You cannot go to Jerusalem and find a more sacred spot. You can go find Calvary. That's fine. But Jesus isn't there anymore. You can go find where Jesus died. He's not there. You can go to some church sitting on some relic where they say that the tomb was and say this is sacred ground. It is not more sacred than your body. Jesus is not there anymore in the tomb. Your body, as a Christian, where God dwells now, I'm dwelling in you. When you accept Jesus Christ, he comes to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. When you get born again, you get God's Spirit. God immediately indwells you. He lives inside of you. The second you get saved, God says, okay, new temple. I got a temple there. That's my temple. And there is no more sacred spot on the earth where you shouldn't do something bad than your body. We get rough people at church all the time, and we're glad to have them every once in a while. Their vocabulary carries with them all the way into church. And they're so embarrassed. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I forgot. And yes, you shouldn't cuss in church. Or outside church. Or anywhere the temple is. I wouldn't go in the temple and cuss. Would you? But people think, well, it's in church. I should be a little better. Okay, that's good. This is the house of God. The church is also called the house of God in the New Testament. That's fine. The church is important and sacred and holy. Understand that. Not more than your body. Yes, Jesus walks in the midst of the church. We understand that. He says that over and over. But he also dwells in you. You're just as sacred as a church. Hey, our church is met in buildings that met for all kinds of things. We, don't tell anybody, our banquet hall that we might be going back into or in before, you know what? They used to have drunken parties in there Saturday night. And you'd smell, and made many people feel at home, but you'd smell it on Sunday sometimes. And you know what? We still had church on Sunday, and God came in there when two or more gathered. And it was a sacred spot. But you know what? Every day, your body's a sacred spot. You're God's dwelling place. You're the dwelling place on earth of God. You are the temple of God. Now, I didn't read the verses around that. Let me go back a little bit and read the verses around the ones we just read. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Whoa! Pretty strong words there. Well, that was Old Testament. If you do that in the temple in the Old Testament, yeah, I got to do that. Okay, now we're in 1 Corinthians. And he says, my temple is holy. I'll destroy it. I'll destroy you if you defile it. And you're that temple. He's not just saying you're the temple of God. He said, you better not mess with that temple and make it unholy. You better not make that temple ungodly. You better not defile my temple. I'll kill you. Is that what he said? Him will I destroy. We saw what Jesus felt about the temple, right? Get out of here. What are you doing? This is not the place for that. And then he says the same thing about your body. Let's look at the other verses on being the temple of God. Chapter 6. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. For he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says right there, hey, what are you doing in sexual immorality? You're God's temple. Flee fornication. Fornication is anything, any sexual contact outside of a husband and a wife. Anything. Homosexuality, adultery, anything, any sexual contact outside of a married man and woman is fornication. He says, how dare you take the temple of God into fornication? That's what he says. Keep yourself pure. I don't care if everybody's doing it. I don't care if you love each other. It doesn't matter. You get married, and then it's a blessing. Okay? Husband, wife, one man, one woman. And by the way, God didn't make Adam and Steve. Okay? And you do not take God's body into fornication. You do not take God's body into adultery. You do not take God's body, God's temple, into pornography. It's sacred. You say, you're being kind of mean. You should see how God feels about it. He's a lot meaner about this than I am. I'm not going to destroy you. Might want to. Never mind. Listen. God says, let me read it again. Let's go back. Know ye not that your body is a temple of God, the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which you have of God, you're not your own. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You're God's dwelling place. What are you guys doing fornicating, he says? How dare you? You're one with the Lord. God's living in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm already in trouble. Let me get more trouble here. In the Old Testament, you were forbidden specifically to go and do what the heathens did at the time, which is put permanent markings on your body. I wouldn't graffiti on the temple of God either. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come up from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You better have holiness. But he says a very important thing there. He says, come up from among them and be separate. Remember those vessels, the cups, the bowls, the spoons? They could not be called common. They could not be used for anything else. After that, you could take that golden spoon. After you said, oh man, back home, my wife doesn't have a spoon right now. You take it home one day, and you use it for the ladle, and then you bring it back to the temple. Well, I can't come in here anymore. It's yours. It's not allowed to make a new one. You separate the clean and the unclean. There's a laver there to wash everything. We are not going to mix these things. We are on holy ground. And separation, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? What agreement has the things of God with an infidel? See, you are the temple of God. The temple of God is a separate building. It's not to be used to go a party in. It's separated. It's not to be hooked up and joined to a false idolatry and the worshiping Diana or worshiping Zeus or worshiping whatever god of the day there. That's not what it's for. It's separated. And you are supposed to be separated. It's saying here specifically, it says you don't marry an unsaved person. The temple of God is not joined to idols. He that believeth is not with an infidel. You separate because you are the temple of God. The temple of God is put aside to be holy. And different. How dare we take the temple of God and put drugs in it? How dare we take it and fill with immorality? How dare we take the temple of God and put it in front of filthy things and watch filthy things? and hear filthy things and say filthy things and look at filthy things, you're the temple of God. It's sacred. Sacred. Good old-fashioned biblical holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. Sin is not a joke. Wickedness is not funny. It's defiling, it says, God's temple. And he says, I want to dwell there in fullness. I want to fill you up. I want to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to be rich in you. When you're saved, I live inside of you because I'm your Savior. But boy, my temple gets defiled. I don't like it. God says, my temple's sacred. Don't mess with it. He wants a sacred temple. What are you doing to his temple that he gave you? How are you treating it? How are you separating it? Is it a place of prayer? What kind of things are heard there? You know, when you begin to get separated and a little sacred and a little bit of holiness in your life, you know what happens? You used to be able to listen to garbage and hear bad stuff all the time. And all of a sudden, once you start getting separate, you say, you wince after a while because you're used to holiness. Oh, the things you could watch before without it bothering you at all. So you're like, oh man, turn that off. The things that when you realize this should be a place of praise, what comes out of your mouth in your temple? Is it praise to God or is it griping, complaining, backbiting, gossip, whisper? What kind of voices are heard in the temple? Is it praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice? What kind of music's playing around your temple? What kind of sacredness is that? You say, I don't want to be that temple. When you got saved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're the temple of God. You want Jesus? He saves you. You get the wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He comforts you. He gives you peace and joy and love and all the fruits of the Spirit. He guides you in life. He does all these wonderful things the Holy Spirit does, but also he demands holiness. He's the Holy Spirit. How are you doing at the temple? Your body's a temple. Don't be playing games. Don't be messing with it. He says it very strongly. He says, what I'll do if you do this. He says, know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I think it'd be cool to find the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if it still exists. It could have been burnt up in one of the destructions of Jerusalem. It could have been hidden by Jeremiah. We do not know. The Bible doesn't say that. Specifically, I don't believe. Can you imagine? You go maybe the tunnels underneath the Temple Mount. There's a bunch of tunnels underneath of it. And you just happen to sneak in one of those tunnels, and you go around a certain corner, and there is the Ark of the Covenant. Boy. Can you imagine the sacredness of that thing? Now, I wouldn't touch it. I'd say, hey man, go see what happens if you touch that thing. But I wouldn't touch it. I would never touch that thing. But the sacredness of the moment, you know, I'd probably do? I'd probably say, let me make sure all my sins are confessed up. I got anything bad in here that I haven't talked to God about? I'd probably start singing praise to the Lord. I'd probably be really good. But did you know the Ark of the Covenant is no more sacred than this body and your body? And we've let the filth of this world get all over all in us. You've got to separate and be holy. I mean really holy. Because the temple is really holy. Really holy. You're the temple. How is the temple? Is it full of praise and power? Is it full of prayer? Is it a beautiful spot for God to dwell? Or is it a place God says, my temple's defiled? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would understand the sacredness of the temple. Lord, it's inconceivable. It's hard to understand in our minds that our little body has God in it. Lord, it's beyond our minds. It's things that we can't understand. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher than our ways. Yet, Lord, I think if most Christians understood this truth, they'd quit messing around with dirty things and start being a place of praise and worship and beauty and holiness. And I pray, Lord, that we today would realize the sacredness of these temples, and we would not defile our temples and take them lightly. I pray we'd be holy. I pray that we'd bring our temples back to church tonight. Pray that we would live righteous and clean and understand the badness of sin. Lord, we preached hard today, Father. I pray that your Spirit spoke to our hearts. I pray if somebody's not saved today, that they would become the temple of God and get saved and trust Jesus. I pray for those who are saved, Lord, that if they have been defiling the temple, they'd stop today and fill it with praise and the beauty of holiness. And we pray you'd help us in these things. We live in a dirty, filthy world. Our temples dwell in a filthy city, but may we take care of these temples and keep them pure and holy in Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed. Just breathe before we go.